I'm Marianne Kolbasek-McGee, Executive Editor at Information Security Media Group. Today I'm speaking with David Brumley, who is Chief AI and Science Officer at BugCrowd, following its acquisition of Mayhem Security, or All for Secure, which David co-founded. We're going to be speaking about medical device cybersecurity issues. So, David, when you look out at healthcare IT environments and at the vast number and assortment of medical devices in any one entity, what types of medical devices are potentially the most dangerous if they fall victim to cyber attacks and why? And then what sorts of attacks are you most worried about and why?
Yeah, that's a good question because this word medical devices can encapsulate a large number of things. Everything from your Apple Watch, which is tracking fitness, down to all the things that are beeping in hospitals. Now, I think the things that are beeping in hospitals are probably going to be the most serious to consider as far as making sure they're secure. In particular, those that deal directly with patient care as opposed to just monitoring. So, these are going to be things like CT scan machines, MRI machines, things that are potentially delivering, for example, a dose of radiation, things that are injecting you. Like myself, I'm a cancer survivor. I think many people at least know a cancer survivor. You have an infusion pump that's deciding how much of a particular drug to infuse. We really want to make sure those are secure because any miscalculation could be fatal.
So, David, when it comes to the types of cyber attacks, which ones are you most concerned about? There's, so many that can happen. You have DDoS, you have ransomware, there's other things that go on in an environment. When it comes to patient safety, what worries you the most?
So I actually worry quite a bit about ransomware attacks, and I worry quite a bit about just attackers making mistakes. So we know that attackers break into hospitals predominantly through their common IT infrastructure for ransomware. So this is just their normal everyday Windows machines. There's nothing medical device about it. And they do that because hospitals are known to kind of be the first to pay for ransomware. But what that means is we have a malicious person on a hospital network. So if they do start looking for other targets or get curious, right, they run the potential of breaking into other medical devices that are much more serious and aren't just about like IT records. And so I worry quite a bit about those sorts of scenarios.
So, David, now when it comes to medical device vulnerability management, that's a huge challenge for many healthcare organizations. Often, even when an organization has a list of vulnerabilities that they need to tackle, finding the resources and a safe time to address these vulnerabilities is very difficult. How might AI tools and/or automation sort of tools help to address these medical device vulnerability management issues? Are they being used right now in a way that is meaningful? And what do you kind of see in the horizon?
Right now, people are looking at how AI can help deploy remediations for vulnerabilities. And it's really kind of at the research level. We don't have really production systems that are doing this. And when you talk about what are the challenges and where AI could help, it really depends on a case setting. When we go look at like small rural hospitals, hospitals that have 50 beds, for example, a lot of the challenges they face are manpower driven as well as knowledge driven. Quite often, they might be even outsourcing their entire IT function. And so, how the hospital keeps track of their IT staff and then marries that with the vendors that are supposed to be providing the updates is a real challenge because these people are doctors. They're already under-resourced for medical care and they're just not experts in cybersecurity. So, I think giving them tools to help understand the risks and prioritize and come up with plans is going to be important. When we look at large hospitals, these typically do have dedicated IT staff and they have great relationships with vendors. And so, in those cases, just understanding the overall volume of problems is a big challenge. And I think, again, AI can help prioritize. It's a difficult problem because hospitals are really just consumers of these IT medical devices. It's like, asking you, Marianne, what are you doing to find vulnerabilities and protect your computer, right? In some ways, you just say, well, the vendor should be doing that. And that's kind of the problem hospitals are presented with right now, except for not just one computer with thousands of different devices that are actively being used for medical care. And so figuring out that prioritization, question is going to be key.
So when it comes to tools to help with vulnerability management within a hospital system, are sort of the more more mainstream vulnerability management tools and services that are available out there for kind of mainstream IT environments, are they suited for hospitals? Or, when it comes to the medical devices, there's a lot of things that need to be considered that perhaps, some other environment, banking or, some other non, life and death sensitive environment needs to pay attention to. Are these all specialized or specialized needs for that matter?
So it's a great question. I think that they're all specialized needs, not just because of the medical devices, but because of how hospitals are architected. So medical devices themselves, they undergo certification. And so even if I found a vulnerability as a researcher and I even created a patch for that vulnerability or remediation, hospitals are going to be wary about deploying that because really they have a contract with a vendor, right? Do you want to be operating that device in an unsupported configuration? What if, God forbid, someone dies and there's a lawsuit? A lawyer is going to pick up on that and say, weren't you, operating an unlicensed medical device, even though all intents were to improve security? So I think that's one challenge, which is really they're at the mercy of the vendors. The second is a lot of modern security has been looking at things like zero trust, where you have highly segmented networks and you can automatically deploy micro filters. That's just not how hospital networks work. Even big hospitals are often very flat. They're heavily connected. And so, this idea of we can go deploy pinpoint security solutions, the IT infrastructure isn't there yet in the hospitals.
So what about when it comes to, we see a lot of legacy devices, but a lot of these legacy devices are still being used, and even the newer devices that are coming out that might have security more part of the design. When it comes to these devices running in a hospital environment, for instance, what are the considerations for products or devices that are always up and running, for patient monitoring perhaps, or other critical services in an ICU versus those that might be things that you use, based on an appointment for a patient. Are those sort of considerations that IT organizations within a hospital environment kind of keep in mind when they kind of tackle vulnerability management, sort of the status of that device?
They do, but we have to put in perspective the timeline and the market incentives here. These are devices that are not going to be renewed every 3 years. You're not just going to go get a new one because that would be incredibly expensive. And these devices are doing what they're supposed to do. And so what you need is long-term support. But I want to also pause and talk about a little bit about market incentives with a story. I worked with a hospital once that was compromised, and the attacker got in through the vulnerability. And what the vendor said was, we no longer support that device. If you want to get the fix, you got to go buy a new. And it was a CT scan machine, a very expensive device. And so you run into this problem that vendors are saying, hey, we're not going to support long-term security patches on some of these devices past, a few years. And that's putting hospitals in a position where, oh, there's a vulnerability. That means I have to buy a new device. Why aren't you just patching it? And it creates huge problems, right? It puts the hospitals between a rock and a hard place.
So, David, what can healthcare organizations realistically do to better address these device vulnerability issues that they face in terms of, addressing issues that are more urgent, staying current in what they need to be doing? What's your advice?
So I think that there's really four things here, right? The first three are the common. There's people, process, and technology. For things like vulnerability management, having better technology, you're going to get small incremental wins there. Things like deploying firewalls are important. Being able to micro-segment your network, that's probably a big win, but it's a much bigger lift. The real value is going to be people and process. What we're seeing in many interviews with hospital staff across all sorts is that they see vulnerabilities, they're getting vendor notifications, but they don't know what to do first. It's kind of like, you have a thousand problems and you're not sure what to do first. And so tools that help them prioritize, and this is a great place for AI. So that's the people, process, and technology. The fourth one is really the one that unlocks everything, and that's by giving more market pressure. When you go talk to device manufacturers, what they're telling me is that security isn't a buying decision. And so what that means is a hospital may be looking at several different vendors and all of them are saying, it's secure and we passed FDA certification. But the truth is, some are better than others. And so what we need to do is start seeing hospitals hold vendors accountable for insecure devices and saying, we're not going to buy from you again until you fix your processes. Because vendors, quite sadly, are making sales with just doing compliance as opposed to true security.
So David, are any suggestions for how healthcare organizations should prioritize their vulnerability management approach for medical devices? Does it start from, the time that they buy a product, now that again, FDA has this enhanced authority, they're more closely vetting, sort of the cybersecurity of these devices that are coming to market? What's your advice in terms of, taking steps to prioritize their vulnerability management approach, but what should they be doing when they try to do that to try to stay ahead of the game?
So I've talked to a lot, and typically our security mentality is you want to go and you want to fix like the most critical vulnerabilities that are outstanding first. And there's a lot of wisdom to that. But what I've found is some of this is just behavioral. And so it's a little bit like getting out of debt, where sometimes the best plan is to go figure out where are the pockets where I can actually go and apply patches today. So you're trying to like pay off the most immediate debt first. And I find that almost is more effective because when you're trying to prioritize, right, you're deciding what you're not going to do as well as you're building a habit. And so thinking about these habits instead of like, oh, I got to go find the most impactful thing, can sometimes lead to just doing nothing. And so being able to prioritize, but like what's actionable and what can I do today will help build that muscle, and then building that muscle to start tackling larger projects like regular vendor audits, regular review of your vendors, where you start getting into proactive and preventative measures, as opposed to just reactive, where you're trying to fix everything all at once.
And what's your advice to the manufacturers of these devices in terms of, what you would like to see them do that would make vulnerability management a little bit easier for their customers?
I'm going to say something kind of controversial here, and that's medical device manufacturers need to hire better security people. So I've talked to dozens of them, and almost always at the CEO level, they're spending zero time on actual security, and all of it is on compliance. They go and they know that their tools are buggy, they know that their products are buggy, but they're just trying to figure out how to get it certified. And it just really when you get a look at it on the inside, it's really kind of disheartening to see what passes muster. So FDA is trying, but they rely a lot on the vendor's goodwill as opposed to them trying to game the system. And right now, it feels a bit like vendors are gaming the system.
Finally, David, anything that we haven't touched upon when it comes to medical device cybersecurity issues or vulnerability management that you wanted to bring up?
Yeah, I want to touch upon like this compliance part actually slows down hospitals a lot. And so this is an area also looking at like what compliance is actually helping versus hurting. So I'm a cancer patient myself. And when I go and get an infusion, for example, I go look at the infusion pump. It has a sticker that says it was updated 2 years ago. And so I'm just imagining in my head, right, there's thousands of these infusion pumps from the ER to chemotherapy everywhere, right? If someone has to go and put a little sticker on it every time they update it, yeah, that's great for bookkeeping, but it also means they're slow. And so how do we get that sort of accountability operating at speed is one of the things that researchers are looking at. And I think that's a great area actually for AI to start helping us figure out what the right solution is and keeping track of it.
Well, thank you so much, David. I've been speaking to David Brumley. I'm Marianne Kolbasuk-McGee of Information Security Media Group. Thanks for joining us.